God bless you, and welcome to Spirit and Truth Fellowship International's audio podcast. Our goal is to provide you with Bible-based teachings that will help you walk in a transforming relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. We hope you will be inspired by what you're about to hear.
Welcome to this teaching, which I am calling entitlement. Having an entitlement mentality or a sense of entitlement is something that I've really had to get in touch with within my own life. I have found that there's been times where I'm disappointed, sad, frustrated, and even angry, and the root of it is because I have an entitlement mentality. A number of months ago, a few of us in our fellowship focused on the topic of entitlement, and I began to see just how big this really is, how deep it goes in most, if not all of us. When I say entitlement, what do I mean? Well, to be entitled to something means that you have a right or a claim for something. There are such things as true and genuine entitlement, something that you really do have a right to. But then there's also false entitlement. And it's the topic of false entitlement that I want to focus on and then conclude by looking at what are the things that we truly are entitled to from God's point of view. In this teaching, I'd like you to reflect on your own life and try to possibly get a sense of where entitlement lives for you. I know it's there because it's in all of us. At least my experience has been, everybody I've talked to at one point or another comes from a sense of entitlement. As I said, it leads to disappointment, frustration, anger, even a lack of gratitude. I believe a false sense of entitlement is the roots of lots of sinful attitudes and sinful behaviors. And if we can get in touch with the false entitlement that lives within us, then we can live a more godly lifestyle. We can be more like Jesus Christ. We can be more holy in our walk before God. I've said things like, I shouldn't have to deal with this, or I don't deserve this. Now, you can put whatever you want in that topic. I don't deserve to be treated like this. I don't deserve, people to be mad at me over this topic, or I deserve better in my life. That's specifically what I'm talking about when I say entitlement. Jesus addressed this very topic. Let's go to Matthew chapter 20, and I want to read the entire parable, which is something I normally wouldn't do. But I want to read this parable so we get a full sense of what it was that he was addressing. We call this the parable of the workers and the vineyard. And I at first had a real lot of difficulty dealing with the conclusions in this. In fact, I recall a conversation with one individual a number of years ago that this record just actually got him very upset. In Matthew 20, verse 1, the record starts, "For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire men to work in his vineyard. He agreed to pay them a denarius for the day and sent them into his vineyard. About the third hour, he went out and saw others standing in the marketplace doing nothing. He told them, 'You also go work in my vineyard, and I will pay you whatever is right.' So they went. He went out again at the sixth hour and the ninth hour, and he did the same thing. About the 11th hour, he went out and still found others standing around. He asked them, 'Why have you been standing here all day long doing nothing?' 'Because no one has hired us,' they answered. He said to them, 'You also go and work in my vineyard.' When evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his foreman, 'Call all the workers and pay them their wages, beginning with the last ones hired and going on to the first.' The workers who were hired about the 11th hour came and each received a denarius. So when those who came who were hired first, they expected to receive more. But each one of them also received a denarius. When they received it, they began to grumble against the landowner. 'These men who were hired last worked only 1 hour,' they said, 'and you've made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the work and the heat of the day.' But he answered them, 'Friend, I'm not being unfair to you. Did you agree to work for a denarius? Take your pay and go. I want to give to the man who was hired last the same as I gave you. Don't I have the right to do what I want with my own money? Or are you envious because I'm generous? So the last will be first, and the first will be last. As I mentioned a few months ago when I was reading this, it just hit me right between the eyes. It was a time when I was kind of struggling. I was in what you might call a funk. I was a little bit down. And I read this parable and it just hit me. My problem was I had a sense of entitlement. That's exactly what Jesus was addressing this with these workers. They thought because the other workers had not worked as long as they have, that they deserved more, that they were entitled to more, or that the other workers were entitled to less. It's a sense of entitlement. A sense of entitlement is an unrealistic, unmerited, or inappropriate expectation of favorable living conditions or favorable treatment at the hands of others. That's exactly what these workers thought that they were entitled to, or what they deserved, that they expected some kind of better treatment, or the other workers should have received less. But the fact is, this landowner, this employer, it's his money. He has the right to do with it what he wants. As I've looked at myself, I've realized I have a lot of entitlement mentality that causes me problems, and I want to root it out. In this teaching, in part one, we're going to take the time to look at the entitlement mentality and how it shows up in our lives and the problems it creates. In part two, I want to take the time to look at biblical examples, because God has examples of entitlement mentality all over the place. And we can look at those, learn from them, and see the consequences that result from having an entitlement mentality. When I say that, I'm speaking of things that you think that you're entitled to that you aren't, a false entitlement. And then finally, in the last section, in part three, we're going to conclude by looking at what is the proper or godly perspective. Because there are things that we are entitled to. So there's a genuine entitlement and a false entitlement. And we want to root out and address false entitlement wherever it exists in our hearts. Well, now I'd like to welcome you to part one of this teaching. And in this part, I'd like to talk of the general, what it looks like to have an entitlement mentality, to help us so that we can get more in touch with it when it shows or rears its head in our lives. I realized, as I mentioned earlier, that I was having problems because of an entitlement mentality. I was having some disappointments, frustrations. There were times when I was getting somewhat depressed, and then I realized I was able to trace it back to this entitlement mentality. Let me give you some of the examples of things that were going on in my life. This past summer, Lori and I moved from Indiana to Oregon. When we left Indiana, our lives were pretty much together concerning our physical environment. Our house was stable, things were done, and we could just live life and go to work and raise kids and not be dealing with things. Well, as most moves would have it, situations and circumstances change. One little example was when I lived in Indiana, when I bought it, it came with a wood shop, and it was a beautiful wood shop. I had taken the time to build benches and all the various stations for all my equipment. So anytime I wanted to build anything or work on anything around the house, I merely had to walk out and work at the workbench or etc. Now I moved to Oregon, though. I don't have any of that. I've had to start over. I did have a detached garage, and I'm upset with the fact that I have to pull equipment in and out and have to put it on rollers. If I want to use one saw, I use it and put it away and then pull out another piece of equipment. And I found myself getting upset, you know, frustrated. And then I realized it's because I thought like I was entitled to a better situation like I had back in Indiana. I'm not entitled to that. Rather than being grateful for what I had, I was frustrated and disappointed because I no longer had the situation like I had had previously in Indiana. It was as if I had in my heart this sense of entitlement, like I deserved it. You know, there's also been times where I've been working here in my office, and because we've moved to a new home, I've had various workmen who have been in and out of the house, you know, changing a few things and fixing a few things. Well, then it interrupts your schedule or your recording schedule, just like this, or something else. And then all of a sudden I get frustrated and I find myself thinking, I shouldn't have to be dealing with this. What do you mean, quote, I shouldn't have to be dealing with this? The reality is, yes, you should have to be dealing with this because you're the one who hired people to work on your home. See, so this sense of entitlement, it pervades and it gets into our hearts. And then it causes us actually to lose gratitude, to lose peace, and to be ineffective in the moment. As the more I've talked to people, good friends and stuff, I've realized a lot of us, like myself, are out of touch with the degree of entitlement that exists within our own hearts. You know, people think that they're entitled to life being smooth and running a certain way. And we're not. The fact is, life is a mess. Ever since the fall of Adam, life and this world has become a mess. And it's not smooth. We are in the middle of a spiritual battle. So what we actually should get our minds wrapped around is the fact that in a battle, there's lots of conflict, lots of ups and downs. And in some ways, you might want to say, that might be what you're entitled to because that's the reality. As I mentioned, you know, we are out of touch and think that our life should be free of problems. There should be no difficulties. Or how about this one? I've talked to a lot of people and they think they're entitled to a job that is satisfying and fulfilling. Says what? I work to make money to put food on the table. I mean, that's what I was always taught work was about. So if one job doesn't fill that need, you look for another job or you take two jobs. That's what work is about. But see, we've developed this sense like you're entitled to more than the reality is that you're not. You know, we think at times we're entitled to a certain type of home or a car that looks a certain way, runs a certain way. The other day I walked out and my car was dead. I found myself frustrated, as if I'm entitled to my battery always working perfectly. Reality is, batteries wear down and they're not. So I think in a lot of times, an entitlement mentality sets us up with false expectations. And whenever we have false expectations, we're setting ourselves up for problems. You know, an entitlement mentality also shows up within relationships. It affects the relationships of friends, family, spouses, coworkers, bosses. We act as if, you know, we're entitled to be treated a certain way all the time or that we are supposed to have relationships that are free of problems. Again, I say, based on what? The fact of the matter is, life is messy, it's filled with conflict, and if we want to have good relationships, we have to work at it. We have to be people full of grace and full of truth. And if we do both and do it in an equal measure in applying both in the right way, learning how to forbear, then we'll have good relationships. But we're just not entitled to life without problems with other people. You know, we think that you know, we're entitled to people never disappointing us. No, what you're actually entitled to is the fact that people will disappoint you because that's reality. I like to think of busting the entitlement mentality as replacing it with a reality mentality. When I get my mind wrapped around of what is real, what is actually happening, then I am able to address issues as they are. We think that friends should always show up on time or never disappoint us. We also have expectations concerning our spouses, our children, etc. See, you have to root out this whole sense of an entitlement mentality in all these various areas in your life. I've been with people who show up in a checkout line and get all frustrated because there's more than two people standing in front of them at a checkout line, or that there's a problem in the checkout line and it takes someone longer than they think it, quote, should take. Now, who says that it's supposed to take a certain amount of time to get through a checkout line? The fact is, it takes however long it takes. And we're not entitled to lines moving at a certain speed. nor am I entitled to stores always having the product that I want on their shelf when I want it. I'm not even entitled to my toilet always working in my house. The fact is, toilets malfunction. And it's so pervasive. We allow these little difficulties of life to pop up, and then we get frustrated. We lose our peace. Who says that airlines should never cancel your flight? And then we get frustrated as if we're entitled to airlines always running perfectly on time. Lori and I showed up at the airport the other day, and our entire flight on our way to our vacation was canceled. We didn't get all wigged out over it. They had actually canceled it from the Friday and moved it to Saturday. I picked up the phone. I took me about an hour. You know, I prayed. I worked through the situation. We actually arrived at our destination 1 hour later, but it took an hour of talking to airlines and being switched to another airline. You know, I didn't get all frustrated and all worked up as if I'm entitled to be treated in a special way and that I'm entitled for my trip, my flight to be on time. You know, I hope you're getting the point that I'm trying to make here. That there's so many things that we show up in a daily life, like, you know, that I should have a short commute, that I should expect traffic without problems, that I should expect drivers to never make mistakes. I mean, I'm acting as if I'm entitled to a carefree life and a life without problems. And I find myself, when I live that way, I just set myself up for frustration and potentially even anger. When we get into the section where we look at biblical examples of entitlement, I think you'll be able to see how this breeds such sinful behavior. But the fact is, you know, to maybe, you know, lighten up a little bit here, we're bombarded with messages that are telling us we're entitled to things. You know, that I recently read that the average person is hit with as many as 3,000 marketing messages a day. Slogans like, you know, Burger King, have it your way. Like you're entitled to have it your way? See, it's very subtle, but it's there. Or how about Nike? You know, just do it. Like, you know, everything, just get out, just do it. Well, you know, sometimes you can't just do it. Or I saw two that are for candy bars. There's a Twix bar. And they said, two for me, none for you. I mean, as if I should get it all and I deserve it all. I'm entitled to all of it and you don't get any. Here's an interesting one I saw the other day on television, and it was about a candy bar. It's a slogan. And the slogan was, nobody better lay a finger on my Butterfinger. Well, see, what's behind that, the subtlety is, it's about me. It's me, me, me. And that's what's at the heart of a sense of entitlement, or what we call an entitlement mentality. It's about me getting my way on my time schedule, you know, everything according to what I want. You know, clearly you can see the pride that's involved in that kind of a mentality. It's interesting. Here's a couple facts. Psychologists have determined that the increase in entitlement mentality is directly related to an increase in rage. We've seen an increase of rage in our culture, both the Western culture and around the world. And psychologists are saying that an entitlement mentality is directly related to an increase in rage. How so? Because people think that things should be a certain way, that they should be treated a certain way, or that they deserve certain things. That they have a false sense of what they're entitled to. And when that doesn't happen, that it actually produces a rage. When we don't get or feel that we've gotten what we deserve, that what we're entitled to, then we become depressed, we become melancholy, and it leads to anger. Road rage. What is road rage all about? I think things should be a certain way, that I'm entitled to traffic and drivers acting in a certain behavior, and then when they don't, it leads to rage. I also think in terms of sports rage. Many of us can relate to the incidents in Little League where actual adults are going to pummeling each other over the results of a Little League game. You know, parents, the way that they're acting at sports events. There's even been riots at these, and it's related to an entitlement mentality. Date rape. What is date rape about? Date rape, where a guy takes a girl out and then thinks that he's entitled to have sex with a girl because he's bought her a meal or treated her a certain way, and that when it's not going to happen, he takes things into his own hands, and it results in date rage, which results in date rape. There's also been rage in shopping malls. You've seen people crushed to death when they want to get in ahead of everybody else when they have these, you know, super sales and all those kinds of things. There's rage in parking lots over people taking a silly parking spot because you think you're entitled to park your car in a certain spot. It's your spot and not another's. And I think that there's a spiritual rage that's behind all of this, that there's actually demonic spirits that are promoting this whole sense of me and mine and what I'm entitled to. Welcome to part two of this teaching, and now I want to talk about some specific biblical examples where this entitlement mentality shows up. And as we look at this, we can also see what are the consequences of it. Clearly, I think one of the first ones that we need to look at is in Isaiah 14, verses 13 and 14. This is the one concerning God's archenemy, Satan, the one who basically has embedded in all of us, because of the fall of Adam, a sense of entitlement, or at least a corrupted flesh that allows us to develop this degree of pride. And in Isaiah 14, 13, it says, "You said in your heart, I will ascend to heaven. I will raise my throne above the stars of God. I will sit enthroned on the Mount of Assembly, on the utmost heights of the sacred mountain. I will ascend above the tops of the clouds. I will make myself like the Most High." And the question I have to ask is, who says you're entitled to that? You know, here is Satan, and he's not happy with the state that of existence that God had placed him in. He had made him one of the highest of all of his creations. He had, you know, decked him out in jewels, and he's a beautiful creature. He's got knowledge and all of that, and yet it wasn't enough for him because he thought he was entitled to more. It's pride. It's all about pride, and it's all about me, me, me. Satan is, I will ascend. I will raise my throne. I will sit enthroned. You know, I will ascend. I will make myself. It's all I. And as a good friend of mine used to say, I is right in the middle of pride. Pride is spelled P-R-I-D-E. And in the middle of pride is I. And that's a classic example. Another clear example of entitlement is what happened to Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. Here, this is the sense that lives in Satan's heart, and it's exactly what he enticed them with. In Genesis 3, 2 through 5 is the record of how Satan comes and he entices her, you know, and the woman responds back to the serpent and says, you know, "We may eat from the tree in the gardens, but God did say you must not eat from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it or you will die." And, you know, then the serpent comes back and says, "You won't surely die, for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." There's the bait with the hook right in the middle of it. What was it that he's baiting him with? You can be just like God. See, you're entitled to this. God's holding back. God's provision for you, he's reserved. God is not giving you everything that you're entitled to. And then they bought it. They bought into it. Basically, they figured, well, we ought to be able to have more, you know, as if they deserved more. Then we go to Genesis chapter 4, and the record is of Cain. You know, what was Cain's problem? Cain and Abel come before God. They make offerings to God. In Genesis 4:4, it says, "But Abel brought fat portions from some of the firstborn of his flock. That's contrasted with verse 3 where it says, of speaking of Cain, in the course of time, Cain brought some of the fruits of the soil as an offering to the Lord. You know, well, basically, Cain was not doing what God had told him to do. The model that God had laid out, Cain's not doing it. Abel is doing it. Abel is bringing the best of the flocks, you know. And God tells us that he did not look favorably on Cain's sacrifice. So, verse 5, so Cain was very angry and his face was downcast. Why? Why is Cain angry? Because he figures he's entitled to his sacrifice being accepted the way that Abel's sacrifice was. And when he didn't get what he wanted because of his sense of entitlement, it produced anger. And I think that's a clear lesson from God, is that if we have a false sense of entitlement, wherever we have that false mentality, it will actually can lead to anger. And in this case, the entitlement was, not only does Cain think that his sacrifice should be accepted, but he's upset that Abel's was, and he doesn't want Abel, he wants to eliminate him, as if he's entitled to be able to even eliminate his brother. He felt he deserved to be honored by God. He was envious of his brother's acceptance. And it all goes back to an entitlement mentality. And in that ground of an entitlement mentality grows envy. And that is what produced the anger and the rage and actually produced murder. You know, that's an extreme example. But I believe that murder, you know, and malice and all of these other acts of violence actually are produced, you know, at their core from a pride and a sense of an entitlement mentality. That's why God gives him the key in verse 7. He says, if you do what's right, will you not be accepted? But if you do not do what is right, sin is crouching at your door. It desires to have you, but you must master it. I think that's a great key when it comes to this entitlement mentality. You must master it, because sin is crouching at the door. Just as if it was crouching at Cain's door, it crouches at every one of our doors, and we must master it. How do you master it? You have to exercise self-control. You have to say to yourself, you know what? I'm really not entitled to that. And we have to be replacing it with a sense of gratitude for the things that we do have in life. Another example is also in Genesis, and this is from Genesis 4:2, and this concerns a guy named Lamech. It says in Genesis 4:19, Lamech married two women, one named Ada and the other Zillah. Now, wait a minute. Here's a record. In Genesis 4, a guy marries two women. He's not entitled to marry two women, as if one is not enough. Believe me, in my life, one has been more than enough. You know, I can't imagine why it ever has been any different. God set it up. Clearly, the record in Genesis is the Genesis creation standard is one man, one woman, you have a wife. Now comes along Lamech, and he has to have two wives. Why? A sense of entitlement, as if he's entitled to have more than one wife. And then in Genesis 4:23 and 4, it says, Lamech said to his wife, Ada and Zillah, listen to me, wives of Lamech, hear my words. I have killed a man for wounding me, a young man for injuring me. What? A young man injures him, so he kills him? I mean, that seems like it's a little out of proportion, a response that's out of proportion to the act. You know, here the guy just injures Lamech, so Lamech kills him? And then he goes on and says, if Cain is avenged 7 times, then Lamech 77 times. This whole record just speaks to me of arrogance, pride, and entitlement. One wife is not enough. He has to have two. A young man injures him. He responds thinking like he's entitled to take the man's life, so he kills him. And then not only that, if Cain is avenged 7 times, then I'm going to be avenged 77 times. I mean, this is an entitlement mentality. And again, you can see it actually leads to sexual impropriety to women. It also leads to murder. And murder preceding that was rage for sure. So, you know, these are some of the examples that we can learn and we can see. This is what an entitlement mentality produces. If we look at 2 Chronicles chapter 26, we'll see that there's a king named Uzziah. Now, in verse 16, it says Uzziah became, well, first of all, let me give you the background. Uzziah becomes king at age 16, and he's a good guy. At least he was in the beginning. Now we reach 2 Chronicles 26, verse 16. It says, "But after Uzziah became powerful, his pride led to his downfall." Uh-oh, here we go. You watch. You'll see some entitlement showing up here. "He was unfaithful to the Lord his God and entered the temple of the Lord to burn incense on the altar of incense." Now, wait a minute. I don't care if you're the king or not. You don't have a right. You're not entitled to enter into the temple. That's a job for the Levites and the priest. Verse 17, "Azariah the priest with 80 other courageous priests of the Lord followed him in." God bless these guys. Talk about bold and courage to confront a king. Verse 18, "They confronted him and said, 'It is not right for you, Uzziah, to burn incense to the Lord. That is for the priests, the descendants of Aaron, who have been consecrated to burn incense. Leave the sanctuary, for you have been unfaithful, and you will not be honored by the Lord your God.' Uzziah, who had a censer in his hand, ready to burn incense, became angry. While he was raging at the priests in their presence before the incense altar of the Lord's temple, leprosy broke out on his forehead." See, Uzziah thought he was entitled because he was king. And it said, the key is in verse 16, "When he became powerful, he became prideful." That led to him feeling a sense of entitlement to go into this temple. And when he does and he's confronted with the truth that he's not allowed to do that and God will not honor his actions, then he rages. See, that's the result of a false entitlement mentality. It leads to rage. It leads to frustration, then anger, then rage. And as we saw the case in Cain and Lamech, it actually resulted in murder. Here is Uzziah in verse 20. "When Azariah the chief priest and all the other priests looked at him, they saw that he had leprosy on his forehead, so they hurried him out. Indeed, he himself was eager to leave because the Lord had afflicted him. King Uzziah had leprosy until the day he died." Well, clearly his entitlement mentality led to rage. But not only that, God didn't put up with it for 1 minute. I don't want it in my life because I can see what it leads to. And I know the times that I've gotten angry and I've flown off the handle. And it's because I think I'm entitled to be treated a certain way or I deserve something different than what I have. It's rooted in pride and we've got to uncover it. It's the same thing that shows up with Aaron and Miriam. They speak out against Moses in Numbers 12:1. It says, "Miriam and Aaron began to talk against Moses because of his Cushite wife, for he had married a Cushite." Now look at verse 2. "Has the Lord spoken only through Moses?" they asked. "Hasn't he also spoken through us?" They're speaking as if they're entitled to what Moses has. And an entitlement mentality often produces a sense of envy. Envy is, I want what another person has, and I don't want them to have it. Jealousy is where I just am protecting what I have. That's why it says, the scripture says that God is a jealous God. But envy actually is a very evil behavior that's produced by pride. And I think there's a sense of an entitlement at its root too. You know, like, I'm entitled to have what you have, and I don't want you to have it. And you can see that not only are they kind of puffing themselves up, but they're also tearing Moses down here. What's the consequence? Well, the consequence, again, is leprosy. Miriam breaks out in it, and by God's grace, Moses intercedes, and, you know, basically her leprosy is healed. There are numerous examples through the Word of God where you see this entitlement mentality show up. I think there's also even a sense of it in Job, in the record of Job 31. There's almost a self-righteous attitude that kind of comes through. David acts at a time with an entitlement mentality. In 2 Samuel 11 is the record of him seeing Bathsheba bathing on the rooftop, you know, in the evening. And he ends up taking this woman and sleeps with her, and she's the wife of another man. I don't care if you're a king or not. You're not entitled to do that. Then he manipulates the situation to try to get Uriah to sleep with her so that he can hide his sin, and ultimately has the man killed. Again, you can see the trajectory that this entitlement mentality leads to. Here's another one of David's son, Amnon. Amnon desires his half-sister Tamar, who is Absalom's sister, and he rapes her and then he tosses her out. The record is in 2 Samuel 13, verses 12 through 17. And basically, Tamar is saying, you know, don't do this, my brother. Don't force me. Such a thing should not be done in Israel. Don't do this wicked thing. But he doesn't listen to her. It's as if he has a right to take his sister and have sex with her. In verse 14, it says, but he refused to listen to her. And since he was stronger than she, he raped her. Then Amnon hated her with an intense hatred. In fact, he hated her more than he loved her. Amnon said to her, get up and get out. And he treats her despicably. You know, I believe there's a spiritual component that's behind the scenes here that's causing a person who's so infatuated one minute and then so filled with hate and rage the next. But that's actually what happens with an entitlement mentality. There's also the record of Solomon, who has 700 wives, 300 concubines. He has wealth, chariots, and he ignores the law of God. He's not supposed to be doing this kind of thing. You know, his wives turn his heart, and he thinks that as if he's entitled to live above God's law. There's lots of practical problems that a false sense of entitlement leads us to. I think one of the worst things, though, is it causes us to live in falsehood. It causes us to live in a false reality. We act as if life should be a certain way when in fact it isn't. We act as if people should treat us a certain way when in fact they don't. We act as if we deserve better when in fact we don't. It leads to frustration, loss of peace, and it also, if you give into it, it ultimately will produce a rage. And it produces, you know, a lot of other behaviors, manipulation, control, deceit. Whenever we have a false sense of entitlement, it harms our relationships with others. And it bleeds over into all of the other areas in our lives. That's why when I became aware of it, it was like a bucket of ice water in my face. I realized, oh my gosh, this is leading to sinful attitudes in my life. And I had to repent of it and say, God, I am just thankful for the things you have given to me. Forgive me for this sense of entitlement, thinking that I deserve more. You know, I deserve nothing but what you've given to me. You know, here's a couple notable quotes concerning entitlement that I'd like to close this section of the teaching with. This is by a person named Chris Jammy. Man is not, by nature, deserving of all he wants. When we think that we are automatically entitled to get something, that is when we start walking all over others to get it. When we think we're entitled to something that we're not, then we begin to walk over others to get it. I think that's powerful. Here's another quote by Dr. Steve Maraboli. And Dr. Maraboli says, he's a psychiatrist, psychologist who's spent a lot of time in this area. He says, a sense of entitlement is a cancerous thought process that is void of gratitude and can be deadly to relationships, businesses, and even nations. Beware, it is a quick transition from a nourishing sense of gratitude to a poisonous sense of entitlement. Bottom line, entitlement is a problem of the heart. It is rooted in pride, and we have to dig it out. I want to conclude this teaching with this, part three, in which we look at a godly perspective on entitlement. As I began the teaching, I mentioned that there is a genuine entitlement. There are things that we do deserve and things that we are entitled to. But there is also a false sense of entitlement. And as we've seen, when we have a false sense of entitlement, which comes from the heart of pride, then it can produce frustration, disappointment, robs us of peace, actually can produce rage, anger, and even in some cases going so far as murder. What is the genuine thing that we're entitled to? Well, the fact of the matter is, without Christ, every human being is entitled to death. Romans 3:22 and 23 says, "This righteousness from God comes through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There's no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." And Romans 6:23 tells us that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Without Christ, what are we entitled to? Our true entitlement is death. That's what the wages of the sin that we've committed deserves. When we really get in touch with that, then we begin to see just how truly amazing God's grace is. In Christ, we also have some wonderful entitlements, and that's really the only thing that matters. As I've explored this topic and sat in our fellowship and talked to others about it, what really became the dominant theme is what we've got to promote is our identity in Christ. After all, that's all that really matters. Who I am in Jesus Christ. In myself, I'm nothing. In my flesh is no good thing. In my flesh, I sinned, and what I deserve is death. But in Christ, I'm entitled to be called a son of God, because that is what we are, as John reminds us. Also, we are entitled to receive an inheritance when we're faithful and live out our life according to God's word. We're entitled to the spiritual gifts and callings that he's given to us. When God has given me the Holy Spirit, then I have a right. I'm entitled to use it the way that God has allowed us to manifest it. I'm entitled to use all of the spiritual authority that Jesus Christ has given to us. These are fantastic entitlements. If you want to focus on and develop an entitlement mentality, these are the things that we need to focus on. We have to realize we are what we are only because of God's grace. And we're entitled to the things that we truly are entitled to only because God has given to us them to us and because Jesus Christ has earned them for us. Romans 12:3 says, "For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment." You know, in other words, have whole thinking. Think properly about yourself in accordance with the measure of faith God has given to you. We need to root out that false sense of entitlement. It's what I call the inner Pharisee. You know, I've kind of gotten in touch with the fact that I think in many ways there's a Pharisee that lives in all of us. You know, there's attributes of Pharisaical attributes that we all have. And one of them is that entitlement mentality. You remember the Pharisees, their self-righteousness, how they always wanted the applause and the praise of men. They wanted to look good. They wanted the seats of honor. They wanted to be called rabbi. They wanted to be greeted in the marketplaces. They were always trying to lay heavy burdens on others. You know why? Because they had a sense of entitlement that was rooted in their own self-righteous behavior. We need to root that stuff out. Dig out the inner Pharisee that lives in all of us. We need to have sober judgment, whole thinking concerning ourselves. And the right thinking is, God, I am what I am only because of what you have given to me. I am only what I am because of your great grace that's been upon my life, and that I deserve death, God, and thank you that because of my acceptance of your son, I am entitled to the things that he has earned for me. I'm entitled to be a son of God, to receive an inheritance, to operate the gifts and calling that you have given to me, and to use that spiritual authority. See, that's the solution to an entitlement mentality. Exercise self-control, root it out whenever it rears its head, and put on our identity in Christ.
The teaching you just heard was a presentation of Spirit and Truth Fellowship International. For further study, we encourage you to visit our research website, truthortradition.com. If you would like to get your copy of this teaching on CD or tape, you can go online at our home website, stfonline.org/store, or call us toll-free at 888-255-6189. Again, that's 888-255-6189. God bless you.